there is very much a reason for the phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But let's talk a little bit more about that. Hello there and welcome back to another Friday night. I'm Rafael Di Furia, back at it again for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. This week, I wanted to talk about some American habits that I've lost in my time abroad, and maybe a few that I've kept that I haven't quite been able to shake. Because growing up, yeah, I grew up in the States, but I'm a bit of a third culture kid in many ways. And so there are many things that I grew up with that were a bit classically American, but then there are even things that are American to me that are completely foreign from my reality of what I grew up with. But when living abroad, your lifestyle will change absolutely completely. There is no doubt about this. And when living abroad, some of the reasons why you will go through these lifestyle changes is because of the natural ebbs and flows to fit in with the local culture and society and to take that on. If you are choosing to live in a different country, why bother just allowing the location just to simply be the background? Like I was talking about in a recent video, talking about how, in my opinion, living abroad is overrated. Again, if you don't understand what I mean by that, go check out that recent episode that I made. It should have been, I think, 2 episodes ago. But anyway, when you live in a new place, embrace it as the foreground. Embrace it as the main stage of your life. Sometimes these changes will come across just simply because it is practical, like I spoke about in that episode as well. Eating here in Italy later at night. There is a practical reason for that. It is hot during the day. It is hot in the early evening. And you don't necessarily want to eat so early in the evening when it's still so hot. And then also, the evening. It's a full event here. But, you know, I've made some notes and I'm going to go over these in no particular order. Something that I have changed partially for practical reasons is not to stand out so much, but also a little bit for safety as well as not to stand out, that whenever you are anywhere in the world, especially if they are tourists, you always know when there are Americans around. They have a reputation for being quite loud, speaking loud, and you can hear it. So while I'm not always so quiet and soft-spoken, I do try to make an effort to not be the loud American that so many people around the world talk about or complain about, I should say. I mean, look, there are times when walking around that, yeah, if somebody hears you're speaking a certain language, maybe they might be more likely to target you for a scam. I'm not saying everywhere you go. I always find it so ridiculous that I have to say I'm generalizing here, but I am. And if you think I am saying that everybody is like this, then maybe Not Your Average Globetrotter, this project, might not be the right one for you. I definitely understand it. Feel free to go check out another project. But no, I am generalizing here that often Americans do have this reputation while traveling around and people will roll their eyes because of how it's just not socially acceptable in certain parts of the world. Do I do it from time to time? Yeah. I is what I is and I does what I does. Simple as that. But I can say, though, that more often than not, when I'm out and about, if people are guessing my nationality, usually American doesn't come up as the first option. I'll more often get people guessing that I'm Canadian. And it's weird because even a lot of Americans have also said, oh, you must be Canadian or something. And I'm like, no. I mean, I didn't grow up that far away from the border, but still. I'm red, white, and blue. I mean, look at the shirt. Maybe you can't see it so clear. But I may be a third culture kid. One of those cultures is still American. Another thing that I would say has been a behavior that I've taken on more is being a bit more open to conversation with strangers. It's something, especially like where I grew up, like, you don't do that. No, I mean, especially your kid, stranger danger. You don't talk to strangers, but striking up a conversation with a stranger or having a stranger strike up a conversation with me and participating in that conversation, that is something that has become almost like kind of a normal thing in life. And even like when I'll go to a new store and they hear my accent when I speak, They say, oh, you speak Italian, but you don't quite speak it like how we speak it. Where are you from? And then I go through the explanation. It's been interesting to have that be a part of the daily experience that I go through. But at the same time, it can get a little annoying. And there are times that I just want to go to the store and not get into the conversation. And that's the thing. When you start becoming a regular at certain places, then you start getting into conversations more often. Not saying that it's always going to happen like that, but there are those times where I just kind of, I'm okay to blend into the background a little bit and just get what I need and go home. That's the little bit of Americanness, or what I think of as Americanness, that has kind of held on, just that little bit extra. And the other thing, socially speaking, is that in the States, I mentioned this in very early episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter, but personal space, especially in Italy, in Europe in general, it's a very different concept, but especially I've noticed in Italy. And even this is pre-2020 and post-2020, like I've had people come straight, like right up to my face, like this close to me, so close that I can't even see their face clearly, having a conversation in social situations. And my first gut reaction was to pull back. I noticed in a number of situations that was kind of perceived as rude and perceived as, oh, this person is not okay with me, that they think they're better than me. And so I had to make an active effort to make sure that if somebody does come closer to me, and it is especially for a social situation or a situation maybe where, like, even in a store and they'll come closer, or even the touchy-feeliness, and to become at least somewhat okay with that. Because I wouldn't say I'm necessarily the most touchy-feely person, at least outside of my family, like hugs and these things, like that's fine. I'm Latin, I'm Italian, like this is what we do. But with people outside of my family, there's always been more of a barrier, I've felt. But that same barrier isn't necessarily the way that people here feel. And especially like growing up in the States, again, we grow up with this idea of your personal bubble. That personal bubble idea seemingly has popped out here. And people will still get very close. With the events of 2020, pre-post and all of that, yeah, maybe people now are a little bit further distanced, but I noticed, especially during the summer, during white zones and stuff like that, that people got pretty comfortable, a bit more comfortable than they did maybe even last summer in 2020. And one other thing that comes to social situations that I have gotten used to more is saying good, insert time of day here, like good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening, good night, rather than, hey, hi, how are you? Because in the States, especially Americans have this tendency to say, hey, how's it going? Even if you enter into a store, even if it's somebody who you don't know who's behind the counter, hey, how's it going? Good. Like, it's just kind of the accepted, this is the greeting. You don't actually mean it, but that's what you're supposed to say. But if you ask, hey, how are you doing? Especially like in a place like Italy, they'll be like, I don't know you. Or even you go to Germany, they'll look like you, like you're madmen. But it's because that when they are asking, how are you doing? How is it going? It's because there's a genuine interest, not because that's what you're expected to do. And you're expected to say, hey, how's it going? Good. Or, hey, how are you? Good. It's definitely not the same as what you find back in the States in that regard. So I've gotten much more used to, especially in Italy, using salve instead of ciao. Like so many people, they'll come to Italy, and that's one of the other ways you can tell a tourist apart from maybe somebody even who lives here, is they'll go around, ciao, 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 ciao. No. Salve, buongiorno, buonasera, buona whatever, buona fortuna. No, not in this situation. But you get what I'm saying here, that there's a lot more formality in general in life in Italy. I've noticed, especially when talking about another person or in a professional relationship or a business situation, that there's a lot more formality. Like say, for example, you go to the equivalent of a Best Buy, like Media World out here in Italy. And maybe you ask one of the workers there a question, and maybe they don't have the answer there for you. Maybe in the United States, you might think that the person would say, hold on a moment, let me just go ask my coworker if we have any of these in the back. In Italy, the word that they use is my colleague. And for me, when I hear people saying, oh, hold on, let me go talk to my colleague, it's like, hold on, who do you think you are? We are not on Wall Street here. What is going on? Who do you think you are? What kind of ego do you have, colleague? But that is the normal terminology. Instead of saying coworker, they use the word colleague. And even when you walk into a store, they will say signore, signora. They will use those more formal terms of respect. They won't necessarily greet you with ciao unless you are a regular. There are certain places here where I live where they recognize me. We're friendly with each other. So when I walk in, they'll say, hey, ciao, Rafael. Because we've broken past a certain barrier, but even there are certain places with certain people, especially of a little bit older generation, where they are a little bit more formal and they keep that generational divide, so they have that expectation of being respected in a certain way. Younger generations, it changes a bit more in that regard, but especially when you're referring to someone older than you, I've noticed in general that there's a lot more respect. But even in other stores where even if I'm younger than the person behind the counter, they will still say signore instead of dude, you. And that's the other thing, is like you have the formal you and the informal you. So lei instead of tu. Tu is the informal. That's what you might use with like with someone who you're more familiar with seeing, your friends, or even again, maybe in certain situations where you are a customer, like say I go to my veggie place, they might be more likely to use tu with me instead of lei, the formal version of you. In English, we don't quite have that in use anymore. The way we create formality in our sentences by changing even the words that we use, not necessarily the form of the word. So it's not like thou, thee, thy, thine. We don't do that. But in Italian, that is a part of the language that still exists. But another habit that I've picked up, and maybe this isn't such a positive one, but this also kind of goes into maybe not standing out so much, but maybe tipping less than I normally would back in the day. A lot of the places that I've traveled to and have lived in, tipping isn't the same like it is in the States. Very often, and I've seen this a lot in Europe, people won't tip or they'll tip minimally. I mean, I know I've been in Spain and see people will just round up to the nearest euro. And I have seen people do that in Italy as well. But I also have seen people be a little bit more generous in Italy as well. I'm not saying everybody. But I do know more people here, like if we're talking about percentage wise, I know more people here who do than maybe in other places. And it also depends, like it's something that depends on where you're from. Like I've noticed British people have a tendency to tip a little bit more as well. Germans, maybe somewhere in the middle. But that's the other thing, is that it's not like I don't tip, because I still may tip maybe a little bit more than the average person might in some countries that I've been in. But it's not that it would be on the same level that I would have in the past. Yeah, of course, good service deserves a tip. There's no question about that whatsoever. But maybe it just might not be as much. But say like delivery, for example. I know a lot of people in Italy who do not tip delivery drivers. But I mean, I feel for these guys sometimes, like especially if it's raining or if it's super cold out or it's super hot out and they're running around and this and that. Like, I mean, like that's not an easy job. So yeah, maybe I might tip a little extra in those types of situations. But yeah, I definitely like will, if somebody's delivering a pizza or whatever, I will tip them. Like that's something that I feel it's like, especially someone's coming to your home, it's almost kind of rude not to. How do discussions always end up back at food? I feel like every conversation about Italy somehow ends up around food at one point or another. I mean, even I've mentioned this before, like I've been in conversations with Italians and even on like Clubhouse or something. Like I haven't been spending as much time on there recently because I just haven't had the time, but I've been in a lot of rooms with Italians, just having discussions about things and very serious topics. And then all of a sudden, the pizza in Milan, it just isn't quite the right thing for me. Like, I mean, it just goes into every direction. It could be about politics and it ends up on food. It could be economics and it ends up back on food again. Whatever the subject is, somehow it always comes down to food. National pastime. But since I'm back on the topic of food, the one thing that even before I was living in Italy full time, the first time I encountered it in Italy, it made an impression on me. And that was not directly touching vegetables with your hand. I've definitely gotten onto Team Glove, or at the very least, if there are no gloves, putting my hand in a bag and then touching the vegetables with that first. And if I see people that are touching the vegetables without a glove on, I am horrified. It is shocking. It is appalling. It is disgusting. And I become a little bit nauseous. I mean, really, like, if you think about it, it's a better practice in general if not everybody is rummaging through all of the fruits and vegetables and stuff. And that's also one of the other things when going to the market, is that there is the expectation that not everybody will be touching the fruits and veggies, but the people behind the counter, behind the table, will be doing that for you. So it is nice a little bit. Yeah, I would prefer to be able to give it a little squeeze, or to be able to feel or look at it, inspect to see if there's anything rotten. And that's why I like going to a proper greengrocer that is really proud of their vegetables, because they will look, they will sit there to make sure that they give you the proper vegetable, that they're not just selling you what they happen to have. I've been to those, and I stop going to those places because they do that. But I keep going to the places that will make sure that whatever they're giving me is the quality product. And they'll say, oh, look, I'm not giving you the bad one here. I'm taking this back. It's not good enough for you. We need to make sure you get the good one. It's not because I'm a regular customer. It's because that's how their businesses operate. And so when I've been in other countries outside of Italy and have gone grocery shopping or vegetable shopping, again, like, I become completely horrified. It's very strange, but it's one of those things that has stuck with me from a young age. It really made an impression on me, especially once you think about it. Although the weird thing is that the people who would be working at these vegetable stalls, they're touching the money and then touching the vegetables. Some places they change gloves, they'll take them on and off. Some places they're good about it, but whatever. It's not a perfect system, but it kind of works-ish. And even though I do live in Italy, one of the habits that I wouldn't say I've completely broken, but I find myself in the various countries that I live in not reaching for bread as often as I would. Yes, some of the countries that I've lived in, bread, having it as part of the meal or like kind of as a starter or whatever, or especially like growing up with bread and butter, like one of my favorite things ever, but I find myself so rarely eating that anymore, or even just generally bread. Okay, fine. I live in Italy. Pizza, sandwiches, this country packed with them. So yeah, maybe if I'm having a pizza, or if I'm having a burger, or if I'm having a sandwich, a panino, yeah, I will allow myself to have that. It's not like, oh, I'm going completely gluten-free here. I mean, in Italy, you can go gluten-free. Not completely. It would be a pretty miserable time. But if it's something that you have to do because of health reasons, it won't be miserable like it would be in other parts of the world. You'll find a lot of gluten-free options here. But I guess also on that line of food and eating, and kind of something that I already talked about, is that my natural eating schedule has kind of been pushed back even later to kind of match with the day here, to match with the work schedule, to match with going out with friends. Not saying necessarily, and this was something I also talked about in the last episode in the response video to the response, and that I don't think it's necessary to take this on to be able to go and eat with your friends. Like I think you can have an early dinner and, or at least early munch and still enjoy the evening out with friends. But as time goes on and you see the weather and how things work here, and then also if you're deciding that you do want to go and eat out, a lot of places just simply won't be open early in the evening. People look at you like you're crazy unless you are in a tourist area. But also, again, on the subject of food, is how I go shopping for my food. Because since living abroad, I don't drive. I have specifically chosen to live in places where it is not necessary for me to have a car. I have been able to live for the past 12 years without ever having to drive. Yeah, there would have been times that maybe it would have been convenient for certain things, but I've been basically walking for the past 12 years, and it has been very nice to not have to go to a supermarket and go 15 minutes away, 10 minutes away. Okay, maybe by walking, it could take that long. But I mean, in this small city where I live now, this is the other thing, that it's not just that one-stop shop. The mentality of, I have to get everything from this one place. Since, especially since coming to Italy, a little bit in other places that I've been to, but more so in Italy, that I have my place that I divide, like especially having a greengrocer, a butcher, and maybe for supermarket, I'll go for like more packaged items. But having that one place with that one focus is really nice, because especially like going to a greengrocer in Italy, I feel like I've had the experience so often, not every place, but that they take pride in their vegetables. They take pride in the freshness of their fruits and vegetables. And you can find some really delicious fruits and veggies. Maybe the one thing that I would compare between the US and Italy, and or actually Europe as a whole, is that carrots in Europe just aren't quite the same as they are back in the States, but tomatoes in Europe, so much better. I've had so many horrible cardboard tomatoes back in the States. I mean, it's been a while since I've been back, so maybe there's a little bit more availability, but I would highly doubt this. But that's the other thing as well, is to get in the habit of eating different foods. And so again, kind of combining these ideas of going to the specific places and not going for that one-stop shopping, and I'm on my feet, I will go shopping more often instead of going maybe once a week, once every other week, or once every week and a half. I will go every couple of days or so. I mean, maybe I'll go every day. Maybe I'll go every third day, every fourth day. Whatever I can carry with me is what I will have. And there's no problem with that, because in the end, most of what I will eat will be a lot more fresh than it would be otherwise. And this is also one thing that's really nice about going to these greengrocers in Italy, is that you find so many things that are seasonal. It's not just like the thing that has been kept fresh or that's imported from the other part of the world so that you can have it all year round. It's, this is what's available now. So embrace that. Embrace the dishes that are around that. Again, this is that lifestyle, that mindset about having your little shops that you go for. And over the years abroad, I have definitely invested in more than a couple of those little old lady shopping carts that you pull around on the two wheels. They're practical. What can I say? Even I have a friend who did video production, and that's how he used to get around. He would carry tripods, lighting, all in those little shopping carts. I was very impressed by that. And one of the other reasons why I will end up shopping more times in a week is because refrigerators have a tendency to be a bit smaller outside of the United States. I know the few times during my time abroad where I've lived in an apartment that had an American fridge or an American-sized fridge, it's been a real treat. It has been huge. Not necessarily that they'll be like so much shorter, but it depends on the specific fridge, but often narrower. I definitely have lived in an apartment or two where it was a mini fridge, and that barely met my needs. Especially when sharing the apartment with other people. That was tough. That was definitely, don't need to do that again. But then also, even when shopping, I also plan my shopping and my week around when certain markets may be around. Like, for example, the weekly market that I've posted about on my Instagram, if you go check that out. Or there's a monthly market, and there's one stand in the center of the town that has vegetables there that they just are so fresh, so good. And the guys who run the place are always a joy to go and meet and go to purchase the vegetables from. They're super friendly. And so I like to support that because it's good quality vegetables. Like, even I do have a preference for purchasing organic when possible. So I asked them, are these bio, like that's what it's called here, biologico. And they said, well, we can't say it's biological, but So they take pride that they're not like going crazy with all these different chemicals and this and that. And they have a natural product that is better flavored at the end of the day. And I don't necessarily, and I'm not out here, oh, organic's the best because it's the healthy. No, I do it for the flavor. Simple as that. And the quality. It's horrible when you get those tomatoes that taste like
cardboard.
Anyway, to continue on with the list. Portion sizes, food portion sizes, meal portion sizes. In the States, I've noticed that portion sizes tend to be quite large. And this is one thing that I think is very misunderstood about Americans, especially globally, and especially in Europe, that there's often this idea that, oh, Americans eat so much, they eat such big portions, And Americans just put it all on one plate. Italians, for example, will spread it over many plates. Like what's considered to be a personal-sized pizza here in Italy, for most Americans that I know, they're horrified by how big it is. And okay, fine, you'll finish it, but it's larger than what might be considered a personal size in the States. So while I don't necessarily eat the full Italian multi-course meal, and naturally over the years have made them smaller than what I would have normally had back in the States. Although one habit that I still don't shake is that I prefer my meal on one plate. I don't want five different dishes. I want it on one plate. Let's get to it. Let's get to business. I don't need to be here all night. I want to eat for practical reasons. I enjoy it, but I still want to be practical about it. And that's a difference in mentality also in Italy, is that, especially Italy, there is very much the mentality of enjoying the meal, not just simply eating. Okay, of course, we live in the modern world and have modern needs, but people still take two-hour lunch breaks or maybe even hour lunch breaks, depending on where you are in the country, and not working while eating. That's another thing that I haven't fully shaken. Like, I'll eat at my desk, but I won't necessarily work while I eat anymore. So mixing the ideas together, just that little bit. Anyway, I think I will end off right here. And thank you so much for joining me on another Friday night. And especially a huge, huge thank you to the patrons who make content like this possible on a monthly basis through patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria or RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon. And then also for those of you who've purchased the shirts, the mugs, the onesies, the posters, and more with "That's it, I'm moving to Italy," "Italy enough said," "Pizza, pasta, amore," and more. Thank you all so much for supporting this project and helping for it to continue, as well as a huge thank you to those of you who've made a donation through RafaelDiFuria.com/support. Whether it's the one-time support, the monthly support, or just the purchase support, it all helps this project to keep going. So thank you all so very much. And of course, again, thank you for joining me on another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. I'm Rafael Di Furia. This has been another Friday night. Stay safe and stay healthy out there. And I'll see y'all next time. Later.